You hear of a podcast called Ideas on Trial. The name is quite radical, but you say to yourself, I'll give it a shot. They should better prove worthy of my time. Now, the very first episode sounds catchy. Judge me if you can. You wonder, who's me? This should be about ideas, not people. Plus, it's not a good thing to judge people. Then, your phone rings. You decide not to answer. You crave for chocolate, but choose to commit to your diet. You remember yesterday's gathering. That guy was too touchy. You didn't like it at all. Then it hits you. Here I am, judging every single minute. But it's complicated. So you choose to stick around. Every idea that we use and live by begs for judgment. But it's up to each one of us to evaluate and decide how to do it. It's not easy, but it's worth it because our life is at stake. Now, Ricardo and I are no judge, in the sense that we're not sitting in a court and condemning ideas. We are exploring and challenging them. We are trying to understand them through conversations and through your interaction with us. But what's interesting is that every time we come up with a conclusion or see things from a certain perspective, we are putting ourselves on trial. And we welcome that. At the end, even a judge in the courtroom puts himself on trial every time he pronounces a verdict. He puts his character, his conduct, even his emotion on trial. So we welcome you judging us by the judgment we pronounce or fail at pronouncing. That's how we get better. And that is how we can all build a culture where justice is served to promote a better life. This is Ideas on Trial. We are your hosts, Leopold Ajami and Ricardo Pinto. And in our very first episode, we are putting the concept of judgment on trial. Hello, Ricardo.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
This sounds crazy, right? Like, this is just something very daring and very unusual. So we're opening the world for judgment. So shoot.
Why don't we place judgment aside for a minute?
All right.
Because I want to start with a question. This is previous to judgment. Forget about judgment for a couple of minutes. I have a question for you. What is the number one skill you need in the kitchen?
Oh, don't ask me. I'm very bad at the kitchen.
Oh, really? For the audience, what is the number one skill you need to cook a great meal? I'm guessing some of you have in mind that it's experience, practice. Because if it's your first time doing an omelette, it probably won't come out very beautifully. Others will say it's having a good palate, having good taste, good sense for what you're using, for what you're doing. But I want to submit something very radical. And that at first sight, when you first hear it, sounds a little silly. The number one skill you need in the kitchen is prediction. Mm. Prediction.
I like that.
Why, you might be wondering, prediction? Yeah, think about it. Did you ever confuse salt for sugar?
I do.
How was your coffee there? Perhaps in a prank, right?
Yeah.
That ruined your coffee. Something that happens to me sometimes is that I confuse parsley with cilantro. It isn't as awful as that, but it's certainly a confusion. I want you to project yourself in a world where you couldn't distinguish oregano from, let's say, chocolate. A world where you wouldn't know.
Wow.
your senses are faulty. This is a crazy thought experiment. I'm following Descartes. Imagine yourself in that world where you would know only the after effect, but you don't know the cause. It wouldn't be pleasant to live there. And those of you who are fans of Friends, are you a fan of Friends, Leo?
Yeah, of course. I am. Of course.
Well, you remember the Thanksgiving episode where
Rachel,
yes, she cooked a Thanksgiving trifle, but she cooked it with meat and with tomatoes. Oh. I don't remember the recipe,
yeah.
But it was awful. It tasted like feet, said Ross. Well, Joy enjoyed it. But anyways, that is a world where we would live if we didn't have prediction. If we didn't know basic cause and effect relationships at the perceptual level, it would be chaos. But here's the thing. It's cooking, right?
Yeah, it's just cooking.
And lack of judgment in cooking led Rachel to prepare an awful dessert for Thanksgiving. No one suffered. Or no one suffered a lot. But imagine you couldn't predict people's behavior. Imagine you couldn't predict people's character. This is going to be a crazy thesis, but I think that's the world where we're asked to live whenever we're told we shouldn't judge other people.
Oh, now, wait a minute. This is a very scary word. Right, like to say you have to judge people in today's culture, that's scary. I mean, I get it when it comes to food, but I think I get why many people don't make the bridge here between cooking and judging people. But I want to hammer more the idea. That's really interesting. Okay, so you're telling me that I can become a better cook if I'm able to predict how to make an omelette, for example, which is something I barely know how to do. All right, so what you're saying is I need to gather facts about the ingredients and the way we should put them together in order to come up and every single, you know, like the oven and the fire and whatever you're doing, right? Like, so you need to gather the facts even in the context of where you are in order to predict what would be the outcome. That's what you're saying. And you're saying the same principle should be applied on people. So when we're judging people, we should be able to predict or first gather facts around them about their character, about their conduct, and then reach a certain conclusion. That's what you're saying.
Right. And the way we're portraying it so far sounds very logical. And very uncontroversial.
But why it is so scary? I've witnessed many times during my workshops or whatever, the moment I say you need to judge, people's eyes roll. Like no, like what are you talking about? We shouldn't judge people. And it's a very scary word. Why? Do you have an idea?
I do. But before I tell you my take on it, what really surprises me is the paradox about judging. Because if you think about the root concept, the root word, which is justice, that's something we honor. That's something we all look up to.
True.
At an individual and at a society level. So if you think about our legal system is based on justice. And this is true whether you are a Democrat, whether you are a communist, everybody admires the idea of justice. Everybody thinks
in their own way, yeah.
In their own way, of course, yeah. The problem is when we make it a verb and we want to use it on our own. So when we're talking about judging, people have a problem. And I think it's not only a terminological issue. It's not only an issue about the language you use. It's about the very act of casting the first stone. That's what people have a problem with.
Yeah, so if we think about it, in the workplace, when you go and you're asking for a raise or a promotion, this is a demand for justice, right? You achieved and you've earned your raise, and that's why you go and ask for it or your promotion. So we accept that. Maybe we don't really think about it that it's an act of justice explicitly, but that's what it is. And even when we're talking about defending people's rights or when we stand against racism or whatever, what we're doing, the root of all that, is we're demanding justice. But as you said, what happens is when we try to apply it on people, something happens. And I think the root of that is because we fail sometimes to distinguish between judging and prejudging, right? When we're talking about judgment, it's the same example of cooking. What you're doing is you're gathering fact and you're reaching a certain conclusion based on the facts you have, right? And you might be mistaken, but the process is honest and the process is towards a certain conclusion. When we prejudge, we're judging irrationally. We're judging without facts. We're casting a blind stone, if I can put it this way. So I think that's one of the key confusion I always find. And I guess that's really the undisputed idea, that for too many people, it's wrong to judge other people. And they get attached to the word itself. Don't judge. And if you go to conferences and workshops and you hear that every day, like, don't judge people. And the advice usually is be kind. Don't judge, be kind. As if judgment is unkind. What do you think about that? I mean, I've seen it a lot in my work here.
Yes, I've seen another common advice out there, which is judging others doesn't reveal anything about the other person, but everything about who you are.
Yeah.
Which, if you think about it, can be true. We want to uphold that because our episode, after all, is called Judge Me If You Can. But you said something very interesting about prejudging. And I think it's wider even than prejudging. Because the not so gracious image we have of the judgmental person not only corresponds to making judgment before or without evidence, but also with making a snap judgment, right?
Yeah.
The judgmental person, judgmental as it is understood in the culture, takes one action from another person, one isolated action, and he will make unwarranted conclusions from it. Right? For example, if you fail to lend me money and you're supposed to be my friend, if I'm judgmental, I will reach the conclusion, you are not my friend. You hate me. You have something against me. Mm. Right? But perhaps I'm failing to see that at this moment you're unable to lend me money. So I think that if there is a sin that judgmental people have, is that they leap in their conclusions. They are too quick to use data that doesn't support the final judgment they make about others.
Yeah. And it's never final. I guess that's part of the issue. I mean, sometimes it is, but you can't reach a final judgment because people have free will. So you might change sometimes. So if your behavior or conduct are driven in a certain way, and I reach a certain conclusion, if you're a liar, for example, or if you, I don't know, behaved in a certain way, and I concluded from your behavior that you're not a good person to be around. But you have free will. You can change that. So in that sense, I hasten to say that there's always a final judgment. Even if a person murdered and went to prison, I think there's some aspect where he can repent and say, I did wrong, and acknowledge his wrongdoing. So it gets, I guess, sometimes really complicated. But I want to go back to something you said, which is very important, which is the idea that we tend to honor our legal system. We tend to honor justice from a legal perspective, and we demand it. We want justice. So one way of looking at this is by simply looking at the statue of Lady of Justice. I really love that statue because it's very telling, right? So here's a blindfolded woman with a sword in her hand and a set of scales. Why she's blindfolded? And I love that. She's blindfolded because she's representing objectivity, right? She is blindfolded to emotions. She's blindfolded to the person as such. What I'm concerned is the facts and the evidence. That's my concern. I'm blindfolded to intimidation, to favor, to wealth, to power, to anything. My concern is facts and evidence.
You know, I'm ambivalent about Lady of Justice. I agree with you that she represents all of that. She's blindfolded. She's blind to emotions, to letting any emotions cloud her reason.
Yeah.
And this opens up a whole subject. Many people take that to mean that objectivity and really understanding people and the world carefully, studying them, demands some kind of neutrality.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think that's the correct view to have about judgment, because judging, whether in the kitchen or in human relationships, it's about gathering facts.
Yeah.
But gathering facts that matter to you, that are crucial for your well-being, either if you want to have a great meal or you want to have a loving relationship. So I think that, yes, Lady Justice is very helpful for showcasing a proper attitude toward judgment. But we must remember that we shouldn't attempt to be fully blind.
Yeah.
Because our lives are at stake here. We should be able to see very clearly the road ahead and the character of people we want to deal with.
So here's something interesting, because I thought about Lady Justice, and I think it works perfectly when it comes to law. That's why I said we honor it when it comes to law. But when it comes to human conduct, I think we need to really think about all the elements of Lady Justice and try to see. So, okay, the blindfolded aspect is really about being objective. But that, I agree with that. That doesn't mean that we should suppress our emotions, right? Like that's the difference between the law and the human relationship. But there's two things that I find really important. The first one is important, and you can differentiate it from Lady of Justice when it comes to law and when it comes to human relationship. So the second thing is scale. So she's holding a scale. And basically, it means that you're weighing evidence, right? That's what you're weighing. But when it comes to human relationship, what we're weighing is really cause and effect. We're weighing that the choices and action of some person have consequences. That's what we're weighing, right? So we're weighing that if a person is acting this way, then this might be the consequence. And that I find is crucial for our human relationship.
Yes, and I think that's fundamental for distinguishing the judgmental person from a person who makes an objective and responsible moral judgment. The judgmental person doesn't care about cause and effect.
Yeah.
Because he thinks that judging is a duty. I think people call this virtue signaling. I've never understood that concept, but I think it's a similar idea. They just want to condemn. But the whole purpose of making a responsible moral judgment is not to take this as a burden, as something you need to do in every situation. You must raise your voice. No, it's to have a proper, healthy relationship with other people and with reality. because you understand that some kind of behavior, some kind of traits, some kind of virtues are more conducive towards your well-being, towards success, prosperity, and others don't. And I think this idea is crucial for really grasping why we need justice, is that you need to understand the effects, the consequences of their behavior, and assess whether they will serve you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you can see that in simple elements. Like, for example, I have long hair, and if I wake up and I have a bad hair day, like I'm very similar to women in this context. If I wake up and I have a bad hair day, you know, I'm gonna be ruining my whole mood. So that's the consequence. But if I meet a bad person and I form a human relationship with him or her, then this person might hurt me. So the stakes are very, very high. And that's the difference. But you said something which is an opening for my third point on Lady Justice. I'm going to hammer that. So we talked about blindfolding and the scales. But guess what? And here's a big difference, I think. The Lady Justice is holding a sword in her hand, in the other hand, right? So in one hand, she's holding a scale, but in the other hand, she's holding a sword. Mm. And the sword really represents punishment, right? It's punishment and power. It's the final say, and it's like, I'm gonna punish the bad. Like, that's what the law is about, to protect people and to punish the bad people, to put it simply. And at the same time, we're weighing evidence in order to make a judgment on the merit of the evidence and the person involved. So that's what the Lady Justice is representing. But when it comes to human relationship, and when we're talking about judgment, you said that it's not merely about condemning people. And I agree. I mean, judgment is about admiring people. It's on the positive note, and that's the importance of judgment that we don't see in the culture. So judgment is not about punishing, condemning people. No. Justice and judgment are positive concepts, and they mean really admiring people. They mean recognizing the virtues of people. They mean primarily celebrating the good. When you judge, primarily it's a celebration of the good. I don't know why we reach a place where when we say judgment, it's all about, yeah, I'm gonna judge the bad, and you know, that's condemnation. No. You know, if I'm seeing somebody who's building something great or designing something awesome, I want to judge that and recognize their effort. I think that's the third link with Lady Justice, which we can learn from.
Yes, and it helped us to differentiate further the judgmental person from the responsible judge. Because the judgmental person is unable to make these distinctions. Let's be honest, many people out there are mixed. They have some virtues and some flaws. But the judgmental person is only able to see the flaws. And don't get me wrong, part of judgment is also condemning, right? You want to differentiate the bomb from the teacher. You want to differentiate the con artist from the entrepreneur. So the condemnation is part of justice.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be your focus. In a sense, it's secondary. And as you said, especially when it comes to human relationships. Because we want to admire others, we want to celebrate their achievements. But the root of that is that we want to emulate them. We want to evaluate, to emulate. And I think that this whole positive perspective on justice is totally hidden from the picture we have out there in the culture. A picture that, as we said, is warranted in some form.
So you're saying, but you kind of build ambition when you emulate, right? Like, for example, if you admire the work of Steve Jobs or whatever. What you're doing is you're saying you're giving him justice by recognizing their work. And then you're saying, you know what, I'm going to build my ambition to achieve whatever they achieve. Again, they're giving you some kind of courage to achieve and to go and achieve whatever you want to achieve in your life.
Yes, absolutely. And we can come back to the idea of prediction. I see that Elon Musk is a hard worker. I see that this guy in my work is very committed to his projects. Or I see that my father is very passionate about his career. My purpose in celebrating their achievement, their character, their consistency, is in understanding what is necessary to achieve similar results that I want in my life. So I want to evaluate, to fully understand people's behavior, people's character, and people's choices, because I want to do the same. I want to build the kind of life that reflects the best in them.
Yeah. And also, I think there's something really interesting that judgment as such is part of our identity as human beings. Now, of course, we have to work on it and we have to fine-tune it, but it's a human need, right? So you need judgment in order to know, to learn about the ingredients. You need judgment in order to differentiate and say, okay, I'm not going to use salt, I'm going to use sugar here. You need judgment in order to make decisions, to form principles, to organize your ideas. You need judgment in order to build this blueprint for your building. So you need judgment for every single thing you do in your life, including, you know, people. You need to judge people. And I think that's very important. And we face it every day. How many times you felt that I misjudged someone, whether positively or negatively? I know I have many times. I know that sometimes I judge from a first impression, but then I learned to give myself more time. I started thinking in context, and I always tell myself, in the context of what I know, here's my judgment of Ricardo. So that's in the context of what I know of him so far. And then I move forward. And I felt that I'm building better relationship when I'm doing that. Because now I'm interested to know more about the person. But if I'm seeing that there are alarming things happening, then I'm stepping back. And I think it's good sometimes to step back. And maybe you're mistaken and maybe you're not. So it's good sometimes to step back and watch and say, you know what? There are some alarming things that I've been noticing. I'm going to be more careful about this person. And there's one thing which I don't know if I can prove it by reason, but one thing I noticed from my experience is that the more you build that, you build some kind of, if I can call it intuition, you know, but you build some kind of an understanding. I don't know the validity of that, but the more you really try to be objective and learn how to be objective when judging people, you build this sense, you sense. I don't mean anything mystical here, but you sense if this person lied, for example, to give a very basic example, if someone is lying or treating a waiter in a bad way, you can start formulating a certain principle here. It doesn't have to be conclusive, but you're formulating something.
Yeah, it's like the phrase, tell me who you are with and I'll tell you who you are.
Yeah.
What kind of man you are. We might as well call this episode The Science of Justice. Because I think proper judgment should be approached like a scientist approaches his field. He's always open to evidence. More than open to evidence, he's on the lookout for data.
Yeah.
Yes, he makes a statement. He makes a conclusion. Every day, you publish your paper. This is my conclusion about this person. This is what I think of him based on the information I have. But that caveat is important, based on the information I have, for two things. One, you might be missing more information. You might need more facts to leap to another conclusion. But the other point is that people have free will, which is a point we've been hammering from the beginning. People have free will. People can repent. People can change their action. And not only repent, because we want to change this image that justice is punishment. People can improve.
Yeah.
People can improve, can be better, and we want them closer to our lives.
And that's what we're doing with Ideas on Trial, for us, all of us, to improve. Like, we want to put all these ideas on trial so we can improve, so we can use all these ideas properly in our lives and promote that which is good.
Yes, yes. And you're bringing the point that I wanted to discuss from the very conception of this podcast. Just as you need to judge people to predict their effects in your life, they will be your friends or not, you need to judge ideas. And at a deeper level, this is perhaps more important, because ideas is what rules our lives. The ideas we live by, whether they are complex philosophical systems or a phrase like stop judging other people, have great influence in our lives. And they're open, just like people, to be morally evaluated, to see if they will serve our well-being or not. I think a case like slavery, if you see the racial conflicts, it's a good test for this. The issue of segregation or the ending of the slavery wasn't held as simply a logical mistake. Martin Luther King talked about the moral arc, right? Mm. So he had a moral relative. He was able to say, not only this is mistaken, but this is wrong. This is morally wrong. And I think we should be able to do the same with all the ideas out there. And just like people, we must be able to recognize their virtues and flaws and be actively looking for more information, more data, more facts about those ideas.
You know what? The reason why I love this topic is I think it's also very much inspiring for the system by which we hire people in companies. Really, what we need to be on the lookout is, again, the key element of judgment, to judge character and conduct, right? And of course, as a result, to judge the merit of the person. For example, when we choose to hire someone based on their skin color, because he needs a job, or because he's a minority or a majority, whatever, at the expense of someone's merit and productivity and character and conduct, who's paying the price? And I think that's the power of justice, because who will be paying the price is the company, productivity, and the person who has merit. So it's a reverse morality. Instead of rewarding the good, now we're rewarding the bad, or we're rewarding the, you know, whatever social construct we're having. So I think that's the important part about justice. It's not just a theoretical concept. It doesn't just pertain to the law. It is about the practical life. It's about really everything we do. There's an involvement of justice and judgment. So I guess one of the things we have to start thinking about, and I know I have, is really thinking about how can we promote judgment instead of, you know, suppressing it and saying, no, don't judge. And even I heard some ideas where they say, don't even use judgmental words. Don't even do that. So I think the opposite should be true. We should be judging more, and we should learn how to judge more, because judgment promotes our lives. From the simple aspect of cooking to, you know, what we're going to wear today, to treating people, to hiring people, to in every aspect of our lives, we need the concept of judgment in order to further our life and the lives of others.
Yes. And this is a huge topic that we want to explore in this podcast. So we intended this episode to be the theoretical framework to understanding justice, but the practice is hard and we shouldn't underestimate it. Yeah. Judging people is hard because of all we said. People change. People have free will. We often don't have enough information. So like a scientific hypothesis, forming an opinion about others, it's hard work. But I think one good practice that can change your perceptions about judgment is creating your golden list. Your golden list. Mm. And think about it. We said that the judgmental person thinks about punishment. That's his focus. He wants to blame others. But how can we seek the more positive aspects? How can we reward the good out there? And I think one good practice is to simply think about what are three good traits you want to develop in yourself to achieve who you want to be in the future. It doesn't have to be anything philosophical. It doesn't have to be a moral virtue. Think about something like leadership, integrity, or perseverance. Think about those three traits and try to identify three people that showcase them, whether they are mixed, whether you think they don't fully live up to that trait. But I'm sure that whether in your life, whether in fiction or whether in the news, you will be able to find someone who represents that vision that you want to achieve for yourself and that you can bring it closer to your life.
I really like that. I'm going to do it after the session. And again, I think this will really help us start celebrating judgment and justice as something that can promote our lives and as something that we gain a value out of, right? I think that's the crux of the issue. We're going to gain something by judging people and trade that gain with other people as well. And that's another topic, you know, the exchange of values with other people.
I think we should honor all that we've said today and make a judgment about judgment. So here are our findings, what we know about judgment so far. Make no mistakes about it. We want to rescue that concept. We want to rescue not the word, but the fact that you need to judge people and ideas in order to live a good life. That is something that will take us lots of episodes and for which your feedback will be very helpful. It's important to live with people and to live with ideas, but we cannot do that blindly. We cannot turn a blind eye to their character, to their effects, to whether they will be good for you. But we need to distinguish that vision of justice as an objective judgment from being simply judgmental, from prejudging or making a snap judgment without evidence. Just as you need the right ingredients to make the right food and you need to predict it, you need the right information, the right facts to make a proper judgment about people.
I'm gonna try cooking tonight. All right. Thank you, Ricardo. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Ideas on Trial. If you like the ideas we're discussing here, please subscribe and stay tuned for future episodes.